What a terrible episode to be a part of.
I got pummeled today after work.
There's no way you went to Starbucks without me.
It's a 5-shotter white chocolate mocha.
Firing up my mom's laptop and just going ham.
He's just running, spamming his click, and he's just pounding kids.
And I was gaming, dude.
You know, like without that gun, you're banged.
That thing is filthy.
I might be getting scammed by some dumb TikToker who's spreading false information. And if you didn't like the game, you were just dog at the game. You sucked. And that's your problem.
And then they just ragdoll, dude. The Flow State Gaming Podcast, episode number 63, baby. 63. That is about 11 too many. We should have cut this off at 1 year. But here we are, 11 episodes later. I am, of course, Coulter Fair, aka Coulter, and my good little lad along with me wearing his little Flow State Gaming shirt, which I am proud of, by the way. Rogan Prescott. What's up, buddy?
Hey,
how
Coulter.
Are you feeling?
Feeling really good, yeah. Dude, I don't get it how people make it through that intro. You said you're going to kill it off, so like I just don't expect it. But like it does get nastier. Like you have to admit it gets nastier every time. People have probably thought it couldn't get any more worse. But in fact it has.
It was sickening tonight, and there's an explanation. It's like, I always think about doing an intro, like a different intro, and it's like, hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Flow State Gaming Podcast, episode 63. My name is Coulter. Welcome back to the program. Like, it's like that style that goes through my head, and then I'm like, I'm not that guy, dude. you're not that guy, bro. You're not that guy. That's what happens. And then I find myself turned around and just an absolute battle cry coming out of me, dude. That's what happens. So, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anyone listening and especially for anyone live. It's not only rough to hear, but it's rough to see too. Because, I mean, I'm really, really straining to get that last few seconds out. Fassage coming in for 7 months. Subscribing at tier
crazy.
One. We appreciate you, Fassage. A week exactly from your birthday. Hopefully it's been a good week. Thank you, brother.
If you do want to see that intro live, get here at flow_state_gaming, twitch.tv. 6 p.m. usually, but it's looking more like 7 nowadays.
It's a little loosey-goosey on the Tuesdays,
yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, people do need to get here live. I mean, it's embarrassing, but we still continue onward.
It's more fun live. It's a better experience live. And it's also a better experience if you're a Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/flow_state_gaming. Right? Every Patreon has a better listening experience. It also upgrades your listening quality. So keep that in mind as well. Even if you're on an app, it's crazy. Patreon partnering with Spotify, Anchor, all the major streaming platforms. If you are, in fact, a Patreon, you're going to get better sound quality. So you're going to hear that intro at a few decibels.
Huge.
Better. So we're going to get sued because that is some false information right there. But let's carry on because you know someone out there. Sub to the Patreon.
Yes.
So thank you to that person. Rogan, tell me a little bit more about that shirt you're wearing, because it does appear to have the Flow State Gaming LLC logo on the breast there. Is that true
or
what?
Yeah, you know, it's on the left nipple. It's hovering right actually directly on that left nipple. And it feels knowing that it's there.
Is it chafing the nipple?
Yeah. No, it rubs it. You know, it arouses me mid-pod, and that's why I made it.
Gosh.
That's why I handcrafted this shirt. I wore it on stream a while ago. Long time ago, and then I put it away, And I went through all my clothes this last week, and I saw it just piled under all my clothes, and I'm like, I need to bring this relic out.
Yeah, and, well, good for you. It looks really good, actually. It's nicely fitted.
I brought it out. It does actually fit really well. I like the shirt. It's not just because it's a Flow State Gaming shirt. It's a good-fitting shirt. That's what our merch is like. I mean, it's filthy. Definitely merch coming.
Merch coming in 2032?
Yeah, so. 2032. Just stick around then, set your calendar, and it'll be there. But yeah, dude, definitely a good shirt. I embroidered it myself. I just did the little logo.
That's really cool, actually. I'm proud of you because I've never done anything like that. But it's nice to see, you know, if you do find yourself in a situation, you know, where you're with a woman that has a higher paying career than you, then you know that you could, in fact, stay home and knit clothes for the family if that's what your duty ends up being.
Yeah.
You have that skill already built.
And I'm proving it to all the women watching the stream. They know.
Exactly. See, Rogan is a ready-to-go, hot-off-the-press, stay-at-home dad. Me? You stick me at home? What am I going to do? I can wash dishes. That's something I'm good at. But yeah, nothing as cool as making clothes.
You can moan. You can moan.
I can moan.
Why, dude? This is dumb.
Dude, no, it's because he likes to ruin every single show.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's why he does this. Mm. Trusty coming in with 5 tier 1s early on this evening. Thank you, brother. You're insane. Okay, we've gone through this before. We're going to go through it again. You need to stop it now. Stop. We're nipping it in the bud. Don't you dare ruin another broadcast with your dumb subscriptions. Okay, yeah. You're already a Patreon. We recognize that Patreon subscription. We appreciate you. You're at the highest level. And, you know, enough is enough, Trusty. You need to calm your pants down.
Yeah. Well said. Well said, Coulter.
So, but actually, thank you, Trusty, for all you do. You're the patriarch of the pod. You are the mule to our carriage. And we appreciate that. So thanks, brother.
The only mule.
Between him and Shelter, I mean, they pull a lot of weight.
They do. They do.
It's kind of crazy.
Wild.
So
hot drinks.
Hot drinks, Rogan. I made a run for us both. Guys, I'm sorry that we're late. It is my fault. I did get tied up with some other duties that I had to take care of. But I'm here. We made it, right? We're here on another Tuesday. We're happy to be here. I did end up stopping at Starbucks because, you know, time was tight, trying to be as efficient as possible. We didn't really want to take the time to make coffee. So I went in and I grabbed some coffee on my way home. Now, what I have is interesting. What Rogan has is not interesting. So we're going to start with Rogan. Rogan, what do you got here?
Triple shot white chocolate mocha. Definitely not interesting. Coulter, you texted me saying, do you want a double or a triple? And I was late on the text. I said triple, and you already got me a triple. So thanks for knowing my drink. It's that boring that anyone would know my drink and know it to order me.
Yeah, well, it's like, I know your drink, but yeah, that double or triple, I know you do vary with that a little bit. And I thought since we are starting a little later tonight, I mean, you might be seeing a 1 a.m. explosion. And that's what I was concerned about. But then as I was in there in line, I thought, you know what? Hey, he might enjoy getting up at 1 a.m. and letting one fly.
I do. I do. Tuesday nights, it feels good. It feels good.
Yeah.
3 shots is just right. It does hit that 1 a.m. mark.
And I'm aware of that. I'm aware that you like that. So, yeah, I did end up going for the triple there. That was pretty obvious. That was a pretty obvious call.
What was your drink tonight? I mean, you're pretty fancy, dude. You're always fancy.
This drink here it kind of took me off guard. I didn't see it coming. And, you know, I like a little surprise in my life. You know what I mean? Something that kind of jumps out at you, gives you a little scare. That's what this drink is, because it should not be good, but it's incredibly good. This drink that I'm sipping on currently is venti and it is hot, right? So for all you people that are, you know, uneducated and uncultured, venti is what they call a large in Italy. I think that's wrong. I think grande is large.
No.
But it's
they swapped it.
I think so. I think, like, if you're actually going by the language, grande is big. I mean, that's what that word means. So I'm not really sure where Starbucks got confused, but they need to fire that person because a grande, I think, technically should be large. What does venti mean in Italian? Let's see here. For all you Italians, it means winds. W-I-N-D-S. Like, man, it sure is windy.
Wait, no. I'm looking at a serving of drink, serving of a drink of coffee measuring 20 fluid ounces.
Grande is 16. Grande is Italian for large. Venti means 20. And trenta is 30.
Yeah, Italian is, in Italian, grande is like for 16. And yeah, venti means... Yeah,
okay, I'm obviously wrong here, and the multi-billion-dollar company Starbucks obviously has it dialed. Yeah. So I'm not one to question, but
you're wrong this time, Coulter. Starbucks takes
a win. I am wrong. Yeah, I hear that. I surrender to the multi-billion-dollar company, okay? But whatever the case is, it's large. It's the largest size, right? Because I'm American, and I get the biggest one you can get because that's just what we do. It's a large, hot oat milk brown sugar latte.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yes, sir. I got it this morning and I got it this evening. It has made it. Dude, this is climbing into my top five and is threatening for top three.
Oh, my.
I know. No, it's crazy how good this is. No, it's wild.
Dude, the
for
different
sure.
milk, that is a stretch too. I mean, there's some hidden gems in there, but it's hard to find.
It's so hard to find.
When you're swapping milks, you're getting into some uncharted territory.
Yeah, like, you don't just swap milk on the fly.
No, no.
I mean, it's gotta be a calculated decision
for sure.
And it's crazy how good this is. Like, I'm not kidding, guys. A brown sugar oat milk latte from Starbucks is insane. It is insane. So just a heads up on that. Yeah. So Starbucks is, of course, a sponsor. So again, we thank you, Starbucks, for everything you do for us in the podcast, both financially and, you know, emotionally. We appreciate everything you do. So, okay, moving on. Announcements. I know we don't want to get, okay, guys, actually this podcast, we have a lot going on.
We have a lot to cover.
Because we are covering Valorant tonight, and we've had some discussions about getting quote unquote back in to Valorant. So I'm really feeling the urge to get back in. I'm going to be straight honest with everyone. I think it's time for me to stick my toes back into the piranha pen. And I think Rogan is feeling the same way. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but we are feeling that way. So there's a lot of changes that's happened to Valorant in the last week, and we really want to dig into those. So with that said, we're going to just brush over the announcements. Rogan, what was your week like? Give us some highlights.
So I am also thinking about going into Valorant. We haven't even talked about it, Coulter. I know you mentioned to me right before the pod that, like, hey, we should get into Valorant again. And I'm like, dude, I was already thinking about that. So, like, we're definitely on the same track there, and I'm super excited as well to get into it. Yeah, my week, I got a job offer. So, currently in between jobs, I got a job offer, put it in for the 31st of this month. So, I'm kind of getting things dialed with my current job, leaving on good terms, trying to figure out the best exit strategy with my boss. And it's a pretty good pay raise. I'll be working remotely, kind of a hybrid environment. So that means I probably will have a lot more time gaming and the podcast. playing Valorant, so I'm actually really, really stoked for that. I'm not sure how much time I'll have, but it's going to be like the resort when driving in the winter, it's just 2 hours, sometimes like brutal driving, super, super long and tiring driving. So it kind of cuts down on like the energy that I have after work. And then so currently like that's going on. And then I just like talked to the upper level, like my boss's boss today. He scheduled a meeting and he doesn't want me to leave because I'm just too good at IT. So he's trying to hold me back. You know, he gave me a whole scheme of like, you got to follow your passion. You got to do what you love. It's not about money. Dude, it's about money. Yeah. It's about money.
Yes, it
is. Let's be honest here. I mean, yeah, it's cool working at a resort, but you know, you can only pull that so far. You can only stretch that so far. So I've been dealing with that. That's been taking up a lot of time. And yeah, dude, that was about my week. I did play one match of Valorant. I think it was 2 days ago, and then I've been playing Apex Legends a lot. Apex Legends, dude, it's like my top like three in games right now. Like, it is so much fun.
That's sweet.
The movement and everything about it, I've like really, really been enjoying it. The kills are very satisfying to get. It's not like high kills, but when you get a kill, it's like, holy cow, that took a lot of work and I just shredded him.
Yeah.
That's such a good feeling. So it's a super good feeling. Yeah, man, that's about it. So
nice. That sounds like a solid week.
Yeah, no, it was good. Dude, my life is actually getting a lot better. I'm like, I've been really happy recently. So yeah, I'm a really happy guy right now. It feels good.
It's awesome, dude. My week, absolutely unhappy. No, that's a joke. Oh, my gosh. Week's fine. My week is good. Had a good week. You know, I'm not in between jobs. I wish I could quit my job, right? I wish I could go get a fatty pay scale upgrade, but it's just not in my immediate future. So, had a good week though. Nonetheless, I played quite a bit of Call of Duty on Friday. I played with Trusty. I played with your cousin, Mac Finnegan, and his girl. So you guys know Mac Finn. A lot of you guys do. He plays Valorant with us too. So that was a fun time. Played with Wavy Davey. I actually played a Valorant match, which was really fun. Had a lot of fun with it. I am rusty, Rogan. I'm going to tell you that right now. Like, it's bad, dude. It's kind of crazy how it's the crosshair placement that I lost.
Oh.
It's kind of weird.
Is it because it just doesn't matter as much in Call of Duty?
Yeah, I think so. It doesn't. It's not as crucial to have your crosshair like at the exact right spots every time you turn a corner. So that was something I noticed. Trusty in the chat bringing up a good point. Friday stream, what we ended up doing is every death that you got in a Call of Duty match, you had to do the equivalent in push-ups post-game.
Oh.
So that was getting nasty, especially when Trusty hit that 30 deaths. 30 push-ups is a lot to crank, dude. That's a lot to crank between matches. Let's be honest.
No, that's so tough.
We were just getting our KD boosted, dude, because we were going 15-0. So we didn't have to do any push-ups. It was kind of is a fun way to do it. But yeah, anyways, you know, good week on the gaming. That's about all that I was able to play. I'm going to make an attempt to sell my truck on Friday. So that took up a ton of time on Friday, getting that, you know, that truck ready to go, clean inside and out. That always takes a while. And so, yeah, I mean, apart from that, nothing much. I got into some NFT action this week, which felt good. And you know, it's always good for me to scratch that itch that I have. Because it's definitely something that I really love. So, yeah, overall good week. I'm feeling happy as well. Community feedback, Rogan, do we have anything going on there?
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't looked at the reviews. You can look at that on the podcast. I doubt there's any, And the Spotify reviews, I don't think there's any on there either. Yeah, there's nothing on Spotify. But we do have two questions on the Spotify, on the Anchor app, or the platform that we put the podcast on. First question is from Thompson28. We're getting to know him pretty well. He's sticking around, so.
Oh, yeah.
So good to see another question from you, brother. The paintball pro. The absolute savage paintballer.
Yes.
Here's an alarming message we got from him. Once I'm old enough to drive, my parents won't let me play games till I'm in college. I understand that they mean well, so I can actually be productive. What games should I play before I'm banned IRL?
Interesting.
Thompson. I was in a tough situation. I was like about the same time. When I was like starting to drive, my parents had a really hard time with me playing video games, and they kind of put rules on like, hey, you can only play 30 minutes a day or like an hour a week. It's like, dude, you don't understand gaming. Once you get into a game, you're not even started like until 2 hours in. Like there's no such thing. You can't keep track of games. And then, you know, like the hour marker's up, I'm mid Valorant or Fortnite match, and they're like, get off. And I'm like, I can't get off. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to get off. I'm in the middle of an intense situation here. A 1v1. I'm in a tournament playing for $500,000 is what I used to say. That always gets them.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah. No, this was Fortnite days. So yeah,
I remember that.
It's super tough. It's so hard to explain to your parents like how important it is to you. I think that's where it was a back and forth, you know, situation between me and my parents. I just like, dude, I was just real with them. I was like, I love gaming. I do it for fun. Like I do other things too, though. Like I'm not gaming all day inside every day. Like I'm being productive, doing other stuff. Like, dude, like you should try to show your parents that you're productive. Like show them that you're productive with gaming. And see if like you can show them that you can manage your time. I don't know your situation. I'm not going to act like I know it because it's completely different than anyone else's. You know, like everyone has different parents, but it's super, super hard. I feel for you. If you want to talk, I'm here. I'm here, brother. Games that you should play before I'm banned. Dude, you should play Apex Legends if you haven't. This is coming from me. I like Apex Legends. It's a really fun game to play. I would also... I don't even... Let me know what games you like. Because I would give you, like, 20 single-player games. But I know Coulter would fall asleep if he heard me talking about it. Yeah, so I'm not going to get into that. Reach out to me if you want to talk about games. I'm in the Discord. I know you're there. If you even sort of care about my opinion. So I'm sorry, Thompson, to hear that. Good luck, brother. I look forward to hearing from you. Coulter, what are your thoughts?
Man, Thompson, you already know all the video games that I like. So those are the games that I would recommend. Before you're banned, I would just say play as much as possible. You know, yeah. And whether that's staying up at night, throwing a blanket over your screen, you know, we've done it all. We've done it all. You just need to get as much game time as you can before you're slapped. And that's really all you can do.
Hey, give me a like a just a quick story on your parents ramming you, catching you playing late at night. Or anything related to that.
Dude, it's like, so there was a time I was playing the PlayStation 2 with my friend Blake. And, you know, we were not supposed to be awake. Our bedtime was 4 hours ago. It's currently 2 a.m. And we are just gaming, dude. And what it was like a racing game, but you're on, what are they called? Dude, what those things that go in the snow, they're like a skidoo, but not. What are those called?
Bobsled?
What?
It's like the bobsled?
Yeah, like, or what, you drive them at work.
Oh, dog.
No shot.
Oh, dude, no. You lost it.
Wait, dude, what the heck?
Wait, why can't I think of it? A snowmobile. snowmobile.
A snowmobile.
Holy
a
cow, snowmobile. Dude. That's so weird.
That's crazy. Gosh. So it was a racing game, and you race on snowmobiles, and that's what we were playing. And great game, by the way. Let's just look it up really quick. PS2 snowmobile game. It's probably only one of them. Yeah, it was Sled Storm.
Sled Storm.
That's what it was. It was Sled Storm. And so, okay, we're playing. It's 2 a.m., and Mom comes in, or we hear Mom walking down the hallway.
Oh,
dude,
gosh.
I kid you not, I grab my blanket, I throw it over the PlayStation, because you guys know, remember it had those two little lights on it? As I'm throwing the blanket over the PlayStation, Blake already knows the jig, and he's just already, he hits the screen, it goes off, we both slam our heads back, and just silence, dude. Absolute silence. And like, and dude, me and Blake were just sitting there, my eyes were wide open too, because the room was pitch black, and you can just hear the PlayStation 2 just just like making its little sound. Oh my goodness, dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, what a close call. Mom turns around, closes the door behind her. We give it like 2 minutes with some unspoken communication. We both knew not to push it too soon. And then we were back up until 4, dude. We got another 2 hours in. So, Thompson, that's what you need to do now.
That's wild, dude.
Oh, dude, those are the best memories.
Funny. Oh, man. I have too many of those stories. And, like, right, it makes me so happy to think about them. Even the ones where they did catch you, like, it just... There's such good moments to look back on.
Yeah, it was just so worth it.
So worth it, yeah. Next question. Coulter, it's from Looster. He's back.
Let's go. Looster is back.
Yeah. So here's his apology. I'm so sorry, my royal kings. I was a scummy rat last week and forgot to submit a question. But I'm here now. So, have you guys played Chamber yet? I have, and he's super fun. Once again, sorry. Breadstick, French flag,
oh,
breadstick.
No. Wow, he's hammering us.
Yeah. Hey, good to have you back with us, Looster. I have not played Chamber. I really do want to play him. He looks really fun. So, I need to get to that. And
I want to play Chamber too, yeah.
We might be getting back into Valorant, so I'll probably be doing that. I want to play Chamber and the new agent. I have nothing that I don't like about him. I think he's super cool, like his design. It's not like Brimstone, just an agent that you don't even want to touch or get near. And Looster, I accept your apology. It would be nice if we had one more breadstick emoji, but that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, more breadstick emojis next time, but... Could try.
I know you haven't played Chamber.
No, I haven't played Chamber. Not yet. That's kind of when we moved out, is when he was coming
in. I know.
In.
It was kind of too bad. When I booted up Valorant, I looked at how he was still locked, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
haven't
sad.
Even been able to touch him. Yep. Yeah, that's it, Coulter. So we can move on.
Awesome, dude. So, like we said... In the pre-show, we're going to be going over the Valorant changes that just came out. And there's a lot of them. We got the skin reveal trailer that came out on the 6th. So, I mean, that's like 5 days ago now. So that was right after we did our last podcast. And then we got a couple of cinematic trailers, a little gameplay trailer. Trying to hype it up for episode 4, act 1, right? This is a big moment for them. And so I think, Are you looking to go over what's new in Valorant Episode 4 Act 1, or do you want to hit the patch notes first? Let's do the patch notes. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then we can get into the skins and whatnot. So, obviously, guys, the new agent is released, Neon, right? We kind of talked about her last episode, but we're going to get a little more in depth, I think, here. And basically, we're just going to talk about these patch notes from the top down. So, Rogan, I don't know if you want to lead or if you want me to lead. Doesn't matter, obviously. Just, you know, whatever.
I'll start on the agent, go over her abilities.
Okay.
Sound good? And then you can just give your thoughts and then you can take it from there. So it's Neon. The leaks were right. She looks super sick. She's definitely like she's supposed to be that competitor to Jett and kind of be like that. She's a duelist. She's kind of like identical to Jett in the way of like the movement is really key. So I'll just go over her abilities. Her Q, it's her relay bolt. That's what they call it. Instantly throw an energy bolt that bounces once upon hitting each surface. The bolt electrifies the ground below with a concussive blast. It just kind of concusses the enemy, probably like a brimstone effect that they have. And then her E, it's called High Gear. Instantly channel Neon's power for increased speed. When charged, alt fire to trigger an electric slide. Slide charge resets every 2 kills. And then her C, it's her fast lane. Fire 2 energy lanes forward on the ground that extend a short distance or until they hit a surface. The lines rise into walls of static electricity that block vision and damage enemies passing through them. It's pretty much like 2 Phoenix walls, but they're kind of just side by side and they kind of create a tunnel. For those that are listening on the podcast, they're just like, two Phoenix walls. She can only fire them straight ahead. They go actually pretty far, and then they kind of just sit there. They don't really stay up for very long, and then they go down. Her ultimate, it's called Overdrive. Unleash Neon's full power and speed for a short duration. Fire to channel the power into a deadly lightning beam with high movement accuracy. The duration resets each kill. So there's a duration that she has it for. Watching her like use this, it's wild. I watched some videos of like people playing her, and it's like pretty much that identical to like the Jett knives, where it's like it's only on her performance, on like if she can get kills or not. She can run while doing it. It's really good accuracy. When she jumps, the accuracy goes down. It's really hard to hit people when she's jumping or when she's in the air. But she can, it's like a timer, and she can just sprint, get a kill. That timer will reset, and she can kind of just run through the enemy lines, just trashing on people pretty much. And she's super fast while she's in her ult. And that's about it for her. I mean, my first thoughts, I think she's super, super cool. I like kind of every ability. I love the sliding. I like the sprinting and running. I think just looking at her, it definitely seems like that competitor against Jett. It's based on movement. It's kind of personal play. I'm super excited. I can't really say anything bad about it yet.
Yeah. Interesting agent, dude. I think one of the really big points to make note of is that ultimate, she can't jump at all. It's like absolutely completely inaccurate when she's in the air. So I'm glad to see that. You know, if she could jump as well, it'd obviously be a little too strong. I think that this is kind of it's a really unique ultimate, which, you know, I like to see that, they keep on bringing in interesting ways to give these champions or characters, you know, ultimates that are really good, and they're going to be really good for 2 or 3 rounds and a half. And then, but they're not going to be overbearing. And I think that's what this is going to be as well. It's like, is it insane? Yes, but you know, it's not unstoppable, and you're not going to be dealing with it all the time, obviously. I almost think the highlight of her kit is that relay bolt, the Q ability, that that bouncing stun. It's pretty insane what this actually will mean. I mean, you're going to be able to pull off some crazy stuns, especially on groups. It's going to be hard for the enemy to really read where, you know, that bounce shot is going to end up, right? Because yeah. like you're just trying to track that thing while it's bouncing by you. You're not going to be able to very easily. Whereas, you know, like a breach stun, like you mentioned, you kind of see that coming right away. You know where that's going to land. Whereas this, it looks like it initiates pretty quickly after it hits does. A wall. And you're not really going to have that much time to react. So this is just going to be one of those things. If you know where somebody is, this is going to be really, really effective in getting that stun on them without much punishment. Because the time, another important note, is the time that it takes for her to release that stun out of her hand and then get her weapon back in her hands is pretty short. So it's not like you're super vulnerable for, you know, 3 seconds or anything once you initiate this ability. It's a pretty quick exchange. And, you know, I think that's going to prevent players from peeking out on you when you're trying to initiate this. You're already going to have your gun out and, you know, you're going to be able to punish people for that behavior. So high gear, I think, is interesting. I do like... You know, there's been a lot of chatter, you know, amongst us and others that, yeah, maybe this is a counter to Jett or, you know, is in the same league as Jett or the same kind of pathway in movement. But this is very, very different. I do feel like I don't want to say this is a competitor to Jett, but I think that, you know, you're going to see some very high skilled players playing this agent and abusing this slide that she has, especially because it renews on the double kill like Jett's dash does. But at the same time, like it's not like, I mean, I feel like a lot of the time you're going to be using this to rotate.
Yeah.
Which is going to be insanely effective. But, you know, I mean, if you're just running by somebody in this fashion, they're going to just shoot you down. Like, you know, it's not like it's that crazy. So I don't know. Yep. I just glanced at the chat and Thompson is chatting. I just wanted to see what he was saying. I just don't think that this sprinting or this sliding is going to be something that's so crazy overpowered, and it's definitely not taking the role away from Jett, because she's still gonna have that op advantage. Like that's just never gonna get. Guys, it's obvious at this point. That's never leaving Jett. That's just who she is. She's always gonna be in that spot, and I think that's actually a really good thing for the game. Fast lane, interesting, right? Yeah, like you said, it's like a double Phoenix wall, so it's better than the Phoenix wall in certain scenarios, but the important thing here is you cannot curve it. Yep. So it's going to go straight no matter what. In the chat, it can go over some minor changes in elevation, but you know, I think if it hits a box or a wall, obviously it's going to stop. I have not played Neon yet, but that's what it appears in the gameplay that I've seen. Really good ability for taking away vision, making plays. Like, this is obviously going to be insane for making plays on people. The enemies don't take hardly any damage at all coming through this wall. So that's, you know, something to keep in mind. I think people are going to pass in and out of it pretty freely without being too punished, which I think is good. But I mean, man, there's just no debate that this is a good ability to, you know, for her to get out of certain spots, move positions freely, you know, et cetera. So
yeah,
really good kit overall, I would say. Looks really fun to play and pretty exciting to watch too.
Her wall really like paired with her sprint too, I think it's going to be really effective since there's two walls. She can really like kind of weave in and out of this wall and get to locations a lot quicker, get onto site. You know, I think entering onto site might be a little bit better than jet in that sense.
Yeah.
And blocking vision from the enemy. Talking about the relay bolt, so it actually, it stuns twice, Coulter. Did you see that? So every time it bounces once, and when it bounces on that wall, like right below where it bounces, that ground is going to get stunned as well, and then to the location that it bounces as well will get stunned. So it can kind of stun twice. I don't think I cleared that up, so...
Yeah, and this is, like, dude, out of the pro players, or, you know, even people just taking rank seriously, they're going to find lineups for this. Like, you know, this is, like, a good ability because you're going to bounce it off a wall, and it's going to go who knows how far and be able to stun, you know, locations that are far away. It's really
and
good.
Yeah, the radius is pretty big, too, like, especially paired with, you know, two entire separate stuns. Super cool. I'm really excited. I bought the agent. I booted up Valorant and I bought it, got the tier 5 so I can play her right away. I don't really want to wait. I want to try her out. So I'm super stoked.
I've also seen people using the slide. Like, you can almost game the system a little bit, and, like, you can jump and then, like, right before you hit the wall, hit dash, and it's like she'll boost. Like, she'll, like, bounce, like, backwards. Oh. Like, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. You're just going to have to mess around with it when you actually start playing with her, because I think people are going to get creative with this dash. Like, people that are masters of movement might be able to abuse this thing a little bit and, you know, might make her move in ways that you don't expect.
Yeah. Her art, dude, is so sick.
Yeah, it's out of control, dude.
It's wild. Like... Man, I'm getting aroused just reading these patch notes.
What the heck, dude?
I'm sorry.
You got to get that Posted Gaming logo off your nipple.
that I think that is an effect, dude. It's doing something to me.
Apparently.
Coulter, you want to cover the weapon updates or just go through it?
Yeah, so looks like the first weapon updates is coming to the knife, the melee. Now, this needed to happen, I feel like, a while ago. I'll just read it straight from the patch notes. The melee's been too tricky to aim with, making it tough to rely on. So we've updated both left and right-click melee attacks for more reliable agent whacking action. So this is big, and it needed to happen. Right-click hitboxes are now 1.5 times larger, and left-click hitboxes are now larger than a right click and have slightly longer range as well. So that's crazy. They're finally approaching the knife and making it maybe not the weapon of choice, but at least viable in some options. Like, you know, there were those moments that you got behind someone, you missed three knives, and then they turn around and bang you. So that's, I think, what they're trying to get. They're trying to get rid of that. So targets closer to the center of your knife attacks will get hit first, so you still have precision if you need it. Bonus, knifing walls now have instant feedback when slicing up walls, predicted on the client side. Don't know what that means.
Whenever you, it's just like, whenever you were hitting the wall, I think the sound occurred a little bit after you hit it.
Oh, so they just cleaned that up a little bit?
Yeah.
That's massive. So I'm really happy to see this. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, it was kind of a surprise to me, but, like, it's something that I've always kind of, like, had in the back of my mind. Like, wow, how did I miss that melee knife, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, dude, in this game, knifing is never going to be the weapon of choice. It never will be, but in that situation where you want to go for the kill, go for the, you know, the assassin behind or whatever, and stab them in the back, like, it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, like, yeah, when guaranteed hits, whenever you miss and it looks like you hit them, it's super aggravating. Yeah. I'm super stoked for that.
Me too. Why don't you hit the Spectre here? We'll just alternate.
All right. Well, I'll read it from the patch notes as well. The Spectre's versatility makes us happy, but it was overperforming in long-range engagements and was too powerful even with its intended close-range and mobile scenarios. By making the accuracy error come in a bit earlier and switching yaws more often, we hope it will make it more difficult to get kills when spraying over a long range. Likewise, the close range sprays will require more control to be effective. Firing error occurs at earlier bullet stages. For example, instead of errors occurring at bullets 4, 7, 10 in terms of firing order, they will instead happen at bullets 3, 6, 8. So that just means, yeah, like the recoil, when your gun will be harder to aim, when it'll be harder to fire, that's going to be coming in a little bit earlier. So you're not going to have those four shots that'll be accurate. It's going to come in a bullet earlier. Increase pitch and yaw. Yaw is vertical and horizontal recoil. Wait, what does yaw mean? Vertical and horizontal. I think that's what it is. Increase pitch and yaw, parentheses, vertical and horizontal. Recoil multipliers when running, jumping, and on ascender from 1.25 to 1.5. Protected bullet count from yaw, horizontal. Switching while spraying, decreased 8 to 5 bullets. Lowering time to switch yaw. Dude, these yaws are throwing me off.
What does yaw stand for?
Y-A-W.
I'm like trying to look it up.
From 0.24 to 0.18 seconds. While spraying, the time you have until you could switch yaws. I'm guessing yaw is, is like the recoil. The movement in where your gun moves.
Okay.
Who knows? The time you could have until you could switch yaws, horizontal movement, again, is lower, meaning it could happen more often. I just had to get through that. That was too much.
Yeah, that was a lot.
I know. Pretty much, so guys. Go ahead.
No, go.
Oh. Yeah, they're just making the Spectre, like, those long-range fights, you could really beam somebody. I mean, I felt it. When I was using the Spectre, like, you definitely, like, moderate ranges were, like, yeah, the Spectre, it kind of shredded them. If you hit those shots right in their head, chest area, it could trash on them. It felt pretty accurate. I don't think this is a bad change that they made. I think it's good. Like, I like using the Spectre. I don't really like when they, like, trash on guns that I like using, but it'll make it so, like, you know, those eco rounds are harder to win, or that, you know, the Spectre doesn't compare with a Phantom, you know, that's going to be a lot farther off.
Yeah, no, that's I mean, the Spectre did feel a little too good in some instances, so this is probably a good balance, I would say.
Aries,
but like,
dude.
You I did like the Spectre, so that is a bummer for me, but goes, yeah, both ways, I guess. Here we go. Yaw is the quickness of the side to side movement.
Oh. Okay. That clears things up. That makes sense.
So all those yaws, just sub in that explanation, and that should make sense. They are nerfing the Spectre in prep for Neon sliding in. Yeah, that actually might be true. I mean, any submachine gun probably got a little buffed when it's in the hands of Neon. Okay, the Ares. This is what's next. And we're hearing from the chat that it may or may not be a little OP. So we'll see. The Ares, I felt like, was good already. So
yeah,
if this is a buff, I'm going to be a little alarmed. It looks like a pretty small section here, so I'll just get through it. Alongside changes to the Spectre, we hope to improve the feel and power of the Ares and take it out of the shadow of the other weapons in its price tier. So, removed spin up. So, obviously, it just starts firing at its max capacity right off the rip. So there's no build up. There's no spin up, as they say. And the firing rate is increased from 10 to 13. So that's a little nasty, I would say. The chat also seemingly in an uproar. Ares equals Odin. So if that's the case, something needs to be changed, right? Because you don't want that situation. So again, I have not played on this patch yet, and so I don't know that for fact, but I do trust you know, the boys that we have in our chat. And so, I mean, if that's the case, I'm not excited about this. What are your thoughts there, Rogan?
Dude, it's kind of wild. Like, I also never really thought that Ares was, like, trash. It just wasn't my gun of choice. The removed spin-up is kind of insane. Like, that definitely is closer to the Odin. And the Ares is not that expensive. Like, it's not bad. So, like, the eco... It's going to be a good eco weapon. Like, I haven't played the patch either. I haven't used the Ares, but the firing rate increased from 10 to 13, dude. That's insane. That's a big change. Huge. Just a 1,500 credits. 1,500 credits.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited to play
right
with
on.
It. Maybe a new gun to use, dude.
Like, that's actually exactly. Cool. Maybe I grab it for the first
time.
Just
a wall. You know, like, you have three guys using the Ares wall banging in Ascent on B site when you first walk in. Like,
yeah.
Please, no.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Guardian. The Guardian didn't need the fire rate penalty compared to its fully automatic counterparts. So we're removing it. Adding another bullet before it starts to get unstable should make the weapon feel much more proficient at tapping shots and improve its overall effectiveness in a fight. So they removed firing rate penalty in ADS and then added an extra bullet before it enters a recovery curve. Both good changes. The Guardian definitely, like, It's good. It's just like, I would always take a Marshall over a Guardian, I guess. And that's just me. Like, I just like the Marshall a lot. It's super, super cheap. I just feel like, dude, whenever there's an eco round, like, you're always gonna buy enough or save for the next round to buy, like, a Vandal or Phantom. It's Vandal or Phantom on a buy round. And, like, when you're getting into these, like, higher cost weapons, it's like, there's not many opportunities that it makes sense to buy. That's why I don't like, you know, like, it's going to be a Marshall usually. Like, there's just guns that kind of feel better than the Guardian or Ares. So I'm glad they're making changes like this, because it's just going to make it more worth it, maybe. Make me like more guns, because I do. I don't want to only go Vandal, Phantom, Marshall, Sheriff. You know, it's those two. Like, I haven't touched the Spectre or the Stinger. Like, I haven't touched a Stinger since it was nerfed. You know, like, it's just, you don't use them anymore. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't really have any thoughts there. I mean, I think making the Guardian a little bit better is not going to be game breaking in any sense of the word. Bulldog. So, last weapon here to be changed. We're giving the Bulldog some love to help make it feel like a better buy in those situations when you might need a cheaper but versatile rifle option. So let's go. Let's hear it for the Bulldog. You guys know I've always been a fan of the Bulldog. I still love the Bulldog. Let's see. Hip fire rate increase from 9.5 to 10. So a little hip fire rate increase. Recovery on burst fire improved from 0.4 to 0.35. So that's actually going to be probably one of the bigger changes in this gun. And then the inaccuracy is accrued anytime the weapon is refired prior to complete duration of a weapon's respective gun recovery time. Lower recovery time should improve to burst fire efficiency. So I felt like this gun was pretty good at the refire rate on the burst. I definitely used this gun quite a bit, and I never felt like it was lacking in a massive way, but it kind of, you know, alongside our thoughts on the Aries Guardian and now the Bulldog, I think bolstering these guns a little bit make them more appetizing, because like Rogan, I found myself pretty much going Sheriff or Vandal or Phantom. It was like Phantom, Vandal, or Sheriff. I wouldn't even dabble with anything else in between, and I think that's a little unhealthy. So making these guns hopefully a choice that is reasonable, I think is a good thing. So I'm happy to see all those changes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you as well, Coulter. All good changes. The Bulldog, it's definitely good to see changes there as well.
All right. Now, for even bigger changes.
Huge, dude.
The weapons are decent, but this is huge. So we got a lot of map changes, which I did not think was going to happen. Rogan, why don't you start us off on Bind? Because they made a few changes to Bind here.
Yeah, I'll try to explain it the best I can. So I'll read what they say first. The double stack of cover to short A has been changed to remove a very powerful one-way smoke location that has made the area a little too difficult for attackers to approach. Sentinels will still be able to clog the space, but the new layout should open a few options for attackers pushing in. So this is on Bind A site. It's kind of like the mid route, mid A is what I call it. Next to that teleporter, you have the double stacked boxes. And Omen or Brim, they always put their smoke there. Whenever I play Omen, I always put my smoke there. It puts an amazing one way. You can see any attacker moving on a site if they don't flash you or anything. Super good one way. It works amazing. So they pretty much shortened it. So it's like the height of one box, and then there's steps up on top of it for the attacker's side. So attackers can actually hop on the box now. They can get a different angle to peek. It's definitely for like the attacker sided. You'll be able to do different things with it. I think this is a super, super cool change. I was not expecting any map changes. And pushing through that site, like when that one way was there, it was pretty much like a sage wall, it felt like. Like you couldn't push it. Like if there's a one way, I always waited it out because I knew I wouldn't be able to do anything there. You're gonna still be able to smoke it. Like they said, Sentinels are still going to be able to clog it up. It's not like in favor of the attackers so much that it's going to change the entire way it plays, but it is going to change a ton. Like the attackers can have a lot more to work with. The simplest changes on these maps is like the biggest thing. Like the ice box change that they did, you know, when they like made it so the box can't be wall bangable. Like that one change changed it. How it completely plays, like it's super, super cool. It makes me excited. And then another change in the same area on the attacker's side, they added a bench. So kind of like when the attackers are peeking the teleporter or they're peeking U-Haul, there's just a bench there, so it kind of opens up more options. It's kind of just different like verticalities. This is what they said. There's also a small new bench for a mix-up when taking that first peek. Coulter, I like these changes a lot. I really do. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I think changing the double box into a single box is actually really massive. If attacking wasn't going well on this map, it felt really bad.
Yeah.
And I think some of it was because A could be a little bit tricky to take, in my experience. And I think a big part of it was that smoke that was constantly dropped on the boxes no matter what. You know, the Sova Dart would come in, you would either kill the Sova Dart or it would get a ping off on, you know, one of your allies. The smoke would go down on that box and it just did feel a little congested. And, you know, if you're team was lacking teamwork at all, this could be a really, really hard situation to get out of. Oftentimes there's an op in heaven, right? We know it. And it's just like, it could be so punishing if you got caught in that A short area. And so I think a change here is good. And I think this, you know, could be the change that impacts it enough to make that feel better. And then that little bench against that back wall, once you get into A short, I don't know really how much that's going to do, but it is going to add, you know, a little bit of, you know, scenarios will change around that bench. Some people are going to be on it, some not, et cetera. So just adding a little more diversity there, it looks like.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, I think these are good changes for Bind.
Yeah. I'm excited to play.
Me too, man. So the next changes are coming to Breeze, and it looks like they had four changes, on this map, which, oh man, it looks like five changes. Okay, I'm sorry. I better just start from the top here. So it looks like they did a lot of changes on the A site. And starting off, the main and the entrance from the A site into Cave took a change. I'm going to read it from the site. Increase the width of the A main choke and removed 50-50s where you must choose one of two locations an opponent may be located. So the thickness of those walls of that cement barricade that lead into Cave got massively increased in width, in the girth. They're way more girthy. And hopefully, you know, for the podcast listener that can't see this, hopefully that makes sense. But it's just the thickness of those walls is greatly increased on the entrance from A into Cave. And so the situation of, you know, choosing one of two locations an enemy may be located, the side note here is, this should give defenders more options when playing around A main. It also removes the 50-50 when both entering or exiting the cave, allowing you to be more methodical when pushing. So they're trying to get rid of these scenarios where, you know, they could be on your left or they could be on your right. And if you make that step out, you're just taking a chance. So they don't want those gambles into this game because it's really hard to provide any counterplay to that. So that's the idea there. The second change, moving into the cave, if you're coming from the A site and you've entered the cave, on the right-hand side, that's where you have that corridor, that little passageway. That's where the alt orb is. Beyond that, on that wall on the right side, they've added a double stack of boxes there. And it looks like it's about, I don't know, three or four steps in from that wall, you're going to have a double stack box.
Yeah.
And the side note on this provides some cover for attackers pushing the cave while also giving defenders more options for contesting the space. So I feel like this is good personally. I think sometimes the cave felt weird and it did feel like kind of once you were in it, you kind of had to take the fights whether you wanted to or not because there was literally nowhere to go. You're in a wide open corridor. You know, you can see your opponent can see you. But there was no doubt that, you know, with the titties on A site, you could have more cover if you were a defender. So as an attacker, I think this is an advantage to you. But I also have not played this yet. So I don't know if you're an attacker. So this box is going to be on your left as an attacker coming into the A site. These boxes, are they going to block your vision from the back of the cave trying to get an op shot onto an A defender? I don't know. I haven't played it yet. But if this is going to force you to come farther out into the cave, it's going to take you more time to actually get there, which is going to change things up a little bit just because you're going to actually have to walk farther to gain vision on the A site. I know this stuff is really hard to explain over a podcast, but that's an interesting. Basically, the gist of it is they've added a double stack box in the cave.
Yeah.
So, next, again on the A site, there's a triple box behind titties. So it's a single and then a double stack. We all know these triple boxes, and they felt weird. They didn't feel like they were enough.
You couldn't even go on them, really. Like, you couldn't play. It was just like kind of like a barrier.
Yeah, you could get onto that first box, but you couldn't get onto the second unless you were Jet or something. And it didn't really matter anyway, even if you did get onto that second box. I mean, what are you going to do from there? It's just it was a really weird feeling location. And I know that we all played around it and we did probably find some value out of it. I mean, it is cover and you can play around it. I actually enjoyed playing around it. But it always felt lacking, especially if you were getting pinched in any fashion. If there was someone, on the left of titties and someone on the right, there was not much you could do, because if you're a defender looking at titties from these boxes, your left side is open because it's a single box. So you're sitting there crouched, you're moving slow, a raise nade comes in, and you're absolutely screwed. Because there's absolutely nowhere to go and there's no cover from your left. So you're sticking to the right side. But that if there's an opponent there coming from doors, I mean, you are just absolutely banged in this position. So they have totally changed this by dropping a crate, a full-size crate, like yellow on Icebox. They dropped a crate there, and then they have a single box and a half box. So you're going to be able to get on top of this crate, which is going to change A site. This is the biggest change to A site by far. So their notes here is adjusting cover on the back of A site and extending the pool to the far wall. So the cover changes should give defenders both a safe place to fall back to and more cover on retakes. Extending the pool should make playing in this space more comfortable. Plant site extension is also to match the new shape of the pool. So, the shape of the pool changed to go to all the way to the back wall, which is absolutely huge. Yep. That's going to be like, so as a defender, this is your left side. If you're looking down into cave on the left side, remember there was that weird little cubby by the double stack box on the far left. The pool you will now be standing in water if you're standing in that spot.
So yeah, and Thompson, the box has changed too. It's not a box anymore. It's like looks a little bit bigger, maybe. Looks like you'll have more room in that corner.
A site looks a lot better, dude. Let's be honest.
Yeah. No, looking at these two photos, it looks great.
This looks way, way, way better. And so the plant area obviously extends all the way through that pool increase, like they mentioned.
And that cargo box, it just adds a lot more to play on. Like, even on the attacker's side, when they get bomb planted, in Breeze alone, I never feel like I have a safe place to play. Or I feel awkward, like, trying to find a place to play. I'm kind of running around, and we'll get in, like, even more the changes that we'll cover soon. Like, it also goes for those. Like, they're adding these different areas to play that'll make I'm gonna enjoy it a lot. I'm gonna enjoy it a lot more. It seems like they're attackers and defenders sided. Super excited for A. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good change, I feel like. I'm excited for this more than anything. This is the change that I think the A site needed. It's going to feel a lot better on retakes, like they said, because there's actually somewhere to play. You're not just coming through and just getting hammered because you have no cover. So that's absolutely massive. Moving a little bit quicker in mid, this is going to be a hard one to explain. They adjusted the curved wall in mid. So if you are an attacker and you walk into mid on your left side, there is a arching wall that's curved and it ends up near tunnel. And currently there was a wall that a corner that created two little cubbies that you could fit into. Those are now gone. So they just continued the wall all the way to that high wall that covers the tunnel. So hard to explain, hard to imagine even. I'm sorry for the podcast listener. You just got banged. But basically, they simplified it on that left side of mid if you're an attacker, and they took away two little obnoxious cubbies that could kind of get in the way.
Yeah.
Last change here, blasting through, they made a change on B site. So, and they changed it pretty sick. They've changed it a lot, too. So here we go. I'm going to read their notes first, and then we can talk about it a little bit. Added cover to the pillar on B site. Blocked off the back site with a new wall and added a stack of crates to B wall. So, the new cover on the pillar allows for a new pre and post plant opportunities. So, guys, all they did is that pillar. If you are a defender, it's going to be on the front left of the pillar. There's now a box there. Ben Jipoppy coming in with a tier one. Thank you, brother. That is a name that you love to see.
No numbers.
No underscores. Just clean. Just a clean, Benji Poppy name. I love that, dude. Thanks, brother. So again, as a defender on the pillar on the left front, there's now a box there. So you're going to be able to plant in a more safe area and be covered from the attackers that would be coming through the archway. Oh, man, my speech is all messed up. So, well,
let's be honest, there was no safe place to plant going into B. The only safe place was on that pillar. And even then, it felt sketch. There's this single box that's really going to help you. You're blocked from mid and back of B for the defender side. Super, super good for the attackers. And defenders, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, you ended up just dancing around pillar, hoping that no one would come. Because you were literally open from somewhere, no matter where you planted. And this is going to take away a few angles. So, like you said, both defusing and planting, this is going to help you. So, the adjusted back sight breaks the head peak to B main while also giving players new cover to work with. This new cover should be useful when falling back and retaking. So, guys, again, if you can imagine it, from the defender spawn, as you walk into the B site, there is now a wall that is placed around the pillar on the side that you're walking into. So people would play with the op in the backside of B and be able to get a nasty shot on attackers that would take window. That's not going to be an option anymore. You're not going to be able to do that as far back. You're going to have to move up to pillar to make that happen. Yep. Rogan, any quick thoughts on this wall?
I hate this song. Trusty gifting a sub. Thanks, Trusty.
Benji Poppy.
I hate
this, is
dude.
Trusty. He's Trusty that. on his mobile device. So that's what sucks about this.
Yeah.
I don't even want to mention it because it's just Trusty. And we've been over it. We've discussed it. It's simply too much. So just stop it.
Yeah. Coulter, like looking at the changes, it just seems way more condensed. It definitely looks like more of a complete site. Before on this image, it looks super open and it felt open. Like I said, on the A site, I really felt like there was no place to play. It was like back of B site and that was it. you could pretty much only play back of B site and then like post plant in the back of like your spawn area. Yeah, exactly. This just gives you way more to play with. I think it's gonna feel more at home. This is gonna make it feel like the different maps. It's gonna feel somewhat similar to like, I would say, Ascent. You know, just other maps instead of like the weird, awkward gameplay that you have on Breeze. Because yeah. That's how I felt. I've always felt like just odd. I felt off playing Breeze. And these changes are going to switch things up. Did you cover the door on A can no longer be reactivated until it's finished opening or closing?
No, I did not.
I think that's, I think on the A site, you just can't reactivate it until it's finished opening or closing. But yeah, dude,
that. Yeah, I missed
that. I like these changes a lot, man.
Well, so there's one more change on B. There's now a double box on the inside of the site on the B wall.
If anyone can cover, and if anyone can understand this, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah, me too. So guys, again, the easiest way to explain it is when you're entering B site as a defender, the B wall is on your left, right? As you're coming onto site. Well, on the right rear of that wall, there's now a double box there. Yeah. So wall just got better. Again, for both attackers and defenders. So
really big.
Again, just more of a complete site. A lot more, like, there's just a lot of angles that are now blocked and more corners that you're going to have to check. So,
yeah,
it's going to play a lot differently. Rogan, I feel like I've just been talking for ages. Why don't you take the competitive changes here? Because, you know, that's a big topic of discussion as well.
Yeah. We have competitive changes coming in for patch 4.0. As the map and agent pool has increased, it's become increasingly difficult for new players to effectively learn and play Valorant. However, we haven't made any changes to when players are able to access our most competitive experience. We believe everyone should take time to learn the ins and outs of core gameplay and have ample exposure to all the maps and agents Valorant will throw at you before competing in our ranked experience. To force this learning period, we've decided to add an account level requirement to play competitive. Starting with patch 4.0, accounts that have not yet played in ranked are required to reach account level 20 before they're able to enter the competitive queue. For those that have not yet reached the account level 20, but have already played competitive queue, you will still be able to play in ranked. So any account that has already played in competitive, so pretty much any Smurf account in the existence of Smurf accounts, will still be able to play competitive even if they aren't level 20. But if you make a new account now, you haven't played competitive, you have to play your matches in unranked, and you also have to reach level 20. I don't know how long, it would be really cool to know how long it takes to reach level 20. It's super, I like this because it's just, any person who wants to make a Smurf account, it adds that whole another requirement. Like, that's super cool because, dude, anyone who wants a Smurf, they don't want to spend 8 hours grinding on their Smurf account in unranked.
No.
But if you're a normal Valorant player, you're wanting to get into Valorant, it's going to help you. Like playing unranked before you play ranked, it's super, super cool to see that. Because you do need to know the maps. You need to know the agents. It's in your favor as well as in the competitive queue for Valorant. So I really like this. Super, super, super cool. What are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, this is, it's all upside here. I mean, it does suck for that kid that's just coming in and, you know, wants to play with his friends and all of his friends want to play ranked and he has to sit there and grind for 10 hours to get level 20, but you know, that small downside is nothing in comparison to the massive upside of, like you say, people creating Smurf accounts. They're not going to want to put in this time, as well as, you know what, maybe that kid that's just jumping in, maybe he should play the game a little bit more than an hour and a half before he can jump into ranked. because that way he's not ruining the ranked experience for the other three players that he's with, four players that he was with. You know, I mean, if he doesn't know the maps, he doesn't know the comms, he doesn't know the callouts, he's going to learn a lot of that in this road to level 20. And I think that's probably the right call for them.
Yeah. Nope, for sure. Moving on, reduced 5-stack rank rating penalty. After getting our initial data on five stacks in ranked, we've realized we have been too harsh on the penalty you receive to your RR gains and losses while in a 5-stack. Match fairness for 5-stacks is equal to non-5-stacks, meaning it's difficult for you to bring in higher ranking player and potential boost a low rank player. So it's just when you're 5-stacking and you have a bronze with you and everyone else is immortal, it's going to be super hard for them to rank up. Because of this data, we are reducing the penalties for lower ranks. So they're just going to reduce that penalty that they're seeing. Diamond 2 and below players will see their RR penalty reduced by 25% due to the current balance. This means the new minimum penalty is 25, reduced gains and losses compared to the previous 50%.
Wow.
We've only made this change for ranks not breaking into or on the leaderboard to help maintain leaderboard integrity. I think this is super cool because I like 5-stacking. I think it's super fun to play with like a 5-stack, and like boosting a player, it's just going to happen no matter what. I don't think it's going to be a problem, but they did keep it for diamond 3 and above players. So like you can't be boosted, like you're still going to be receiving a fat penalty increase or a decrease by 50% if you're in the higher ranks. So that's going to slam you even more. But I mean, 25% reduced, like it's still a pretty big reason why you shouldn't 5-stack. But in reality, like people are just going to do it. That's what Valorant added. They want people to 5-stack. I don't know. I think it's just like, it's going to happen. People are going to be boosted. The people already can be boosted. You know, people pay for people just to put up their rank. I think seeing them reduce, like 25 reduced, is quite a bit still.
Yeah, I think this is really good. And I think the takeaway to look at here is this note that they made that says match fairness for 5-stacks is equal to non-5-stacks. So I don't, when they initially, you know, introduced this 50% decrease in rank rating, I think they were expecting a bunch of diamonds and bronzes playing together, but that probably isn't very often the case. Like, let's be honest. I think, you know, their data is obviously showing that people want a 5-stack probably within the general vicinity of their rank. Like, I mean, even if you have a platinum and a silver, how far really is that difference? Like, yeah. I understand that there's a difference in skill, but how far is it really? Because, I mean, if you catch me on a bad day, I am a silver. And if you catch a silver on a good day, he is a platinum. So you know what? It's like, we're splitting hairs here. So just let these players play together, right? And which is what they're doing in a 5-stack scenario. Let them play together. Let me play with my girlfriend. You know, she's in silver. I'm in gold 3. Just let us run together where it's not that crazy of a difference. And you know what? Yeah, slam us for 25%. I don't care. I want to play with my friends. All of us are not wildly crazy, like, you know, like you're better than me, but it's like you on a bad day, I can compete. So you know what? If you're having an off day and we want to play together, sweet. Let us do it and then we'll take the 25%.
Yeah. Increased map randomization. Increased our map weights, which should lead to an increase in map variety and reduced in map duplicates from match to match.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, this is like, it's kind of cool because this is going off of, I think it's going off of your profile. So if you played Ascent twice in a row, you're probably not going to get Ascent again. duplicates from match to match. So, like, you know, you see the people who've played Fracture the last, like, six times out of the last 10 matches they've played, and they're sick of Fracture. I feel like when I've played, like, I don't see Bind at all sometimes, or I don't see Ascent. And it's cool to see that they're increasing that randomization for you. So,
yeah. Yep.
We have bugs. Bugs fix, bug fixes, nothing that matters. I don't even want to cover them. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't go there.
No, we can't. We don't go there. Yeah, that's it for patch 4.0. So, boom. New agent, map changes, weapon changes. Good patch, dude.
Big patch.
Yeah. Good and big. And girthy.
All right. Now, just quickly, because we're already over time, the article that, you know, states what's new in Valorant Episode 4, Act 1, we do have a little trailer that we can watch, you know, and it's trying to get everyone hyped. It looks great, obviously. It looks fun. Valorant's cool. The new agent, Neon, the battle pass.
Oh gosh.
Looks kind of doggy.
No, I'm gonna dog.
I'm going to be straight. It looks pretty bad. Not super excited for the battle pass, not going to lie here. And then the new skin line protocol. Now, are these guns sick? Yes. Right? Watch the trailer of them. They look cool. Rogan brought up a good point. There's an extreme price tag.
I have the prices written down.
On this bundle. Go ahead and give it a rip here.
All right. So this whole bundle costs 9,900 credits.
Let's go.
2,475 credits for a single gun. 4,950 credits for the knife. So if you want to buy this bundle, you're spending $100. Whether you like it or not. $100.
Dude, they gotta calm down with some of these prices.
And the previous bundles were 7,700, like around like 7,000 range. And this doesn't compare. Like, it's a sick skin pack. Nothing that relates to, like, that's like, okay, this is worth it.
Yeah.
Like, it's yep. just a skin pack. It's a good skin pack. And they bump that price up fat amount because they know no one is looking at the price tag. No one really cares about it. You're already spending $75 on the current packs right now.
Yeah, people are just swiping.
It's just I know every company's greedy. Everyone, like, you know, they have a business because they're making money. Like, that's cool. I don't care. Like, yep. take my money. Yep. That's fine. But it's just a lot for a skin, dude. It's hard to look away from it. Like, yeah. I was excited. I was actually, like, gonna buy a skin. I was looking at them before I looked at the price tag. Saw the price tag and like, holy cow, dude, that sucks.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of money.
I hope no one buys them and then Valorant brings the prices down. Cause like,
yeah, we go on strike here.
There's a lot of boys that are going bankrupt after booting up Valorant.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting.
Battle Pass, I went through it and it's like, I think it's the worst Battle Pass I've seen.
I hate that for them. I don't like that. That's unfortunate.
It's terrible. It doesn't even compare. The knife is a karambit, though. So the animation would be cool. I mean, it's decent.
Yeah. It
doesn't look like anything special. I mean.
Yeah, that sucks.
Pretty terrible. I mean, that's just my opinion. Other people might love it, whatever.
Yeah. Well. Awesome, dude. I felt really good about this episode. It kind of felt good to get back to some Valorant. Last note here, obviously, everyone knows this already. The ranks are refreshed, so we got to do our placements, etc. So we're.
It seems like people have been getting banged.
They've been getting torn up on their placements or what?
Yeah, like.
Interesting.
Getting pretty bad.
Bad placements.
Yeah. Oh, Coulter?
Yes, sir.
I think the stream went down. I think I lost internet.
Okay. So let's close it out, guys. We will talk to you later.
I'm going to finish my outro because it's still recording. That doesn't matter about the internet, but the stream is getting...
Oh, I think it's amazing. So amazing. Yeah, yeah. Stream's down.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 63. We covered patch 4.0, new Valorant update, so we're excited. I know I'm going to be playing a lot more Valorant this next week. Watch us live. flow_state_gaming on twitch.tv. We'll be live next week on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Be there. Or 6 p.m. Who knows? Just be there. Be ready. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
Bye.